O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appear.
Rejoice! Rejoice! Emmanuel shall come. He comes to you, O Israel, the Genesis, the new beginning, the new creation of God. You, O Israel, we have hope as we wait patiently for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is Emmanuel. How do you spell it? With an I or an E? Everyone may have their own preference. I looked at about 15 different Bibles this past week. And some had the I and some had the E. You shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Phyllis Martin was a teacher in an elementary school in Columbus, Ohio. And a few years ago, the sirens went off in town. It was too late to send the kids home. A tornado had touched down nearby, and they needed to seek shelter. They took all the elementary kids down into the basement, into the dark, huddled against the wall, and you could hear the storm pummeling outside, the wind howling, the rain falling and beating. And the little kids were scared to death. They were shaking. They were trembling. And one cried, and then another cried, and pretty soon they were all crying. The principal said, maybe we should get them to do a sing-along. Maybe that would help calm them down. But it was Phyllis Martin, whose faith is always strong enough to meet every obstacle or challenge or crisis that comes the way. She said, I've got another idea. There was a little girl right next to her, a third grader, Sally. Sally was crying and weeping, and she was trembling and she was afraid. And the teacher put her arm around her and said, you don't have to be afraid. Have you forgotten? God is stronger than any storm out there. And he's holding you. And he's wrapping his arms around you stronger than what I'm doing right now. I'll tell you what. Repeat after me. God is with us. And Sally did. God is with us. And then her teacher, Phyllis, said, now pass that on to the one next to you and tell them to do the same. It took a little time. You have to be patient, you know, with the gospel. You have to let it run its course. But eventually all that crying and fear was replaced with peace. Sweet heavenly peace, right there in the midst of that tornado that was somewhere out around and all of the storm that was pummeling the building. But no more crying, no more trembling, as these kids said, God is with us, pass it on. God is with us, pass it on. When the storm was over, they went back to their classrooms, and by the grace of God, that tornado had not touched that school. Phyllis Martin has never forgotten that day when God spoke to her heart and said, pass it on, Emmanuel. Whether you spell it with an E or an I, God is with us. And as we find from our text for today, when God is with us, there is a crisis. There is a two-edged sword. God is with us for salvation to the one who believes in Jesus. But for the one who only believes in themselves, God is with us as a word of judgment. God is with us. And in Jesus Christ, wants to wrap his arms around you and smother you with the kisses of forgiveness and mercy. He gives you grace to bring about the obedience of faith. But not all choose to trust in him or to believe his word of promise. Not all find their hope in him. Our first reading for tonight, you know Ahaz. He was a king. He was royalty. In fact, if you've read Matthew chapter 1, which is a genealogy, the genesis of Joseph that goes back to Abraham and David, remember? Ahaz is on that list. Ahaz was the king of the southern kingdom of Judah in the 8th century B.C., and that's after the kingdoms had separated and divided, and there was the northern kingdom of Israel that had aligned itself with Syria, also known as Aram. And the two had come together, and they were on the assault, and they were coming after Ahaz and the southern kingdom of Judah. In other words, there was a crisis. How are you going to respond to a storm that is on the attack? Well, Ahaz is shaking in his boots. But he's got a plan. He could always surrender, or he could always align himself with Assyria, and Assyria would protect him and keep him safe from Israel and Syria. But the word of the Lord in the opening verses of chapter 7 of Isaiah, the word of the Lord comes to Ahaz and says, what's with all this shaking? What's with all this worry and fear? Israel and Syria, they're like two smoldering stumps. Can you picture that? I mean, it's lights out for those guys. Two smoldering stumps. It's not long. So Ahaz, just kind of cool your jets. Just be still and know that I am God. Just relax and have faith. I got my arms under you and around you, Ahaz. Do not be afraid. Oh, but Ahaz is afraid. And so in our first lesson for tonight, the word of the Lord through the prophet Isaiah comes to Ahaz a second time. You see how persistent and patient, how loving God is? He comes to Ahaz and says, okay, apparently you're having a hard time believing that what I'm telling you is true. It sounds like you need a sign. So I'm going to give you a sign. In fact, I'm going to give you a blank check. Make it as high as the heaven, as deep as the Sheol. Name it. I'll provide it. Wow, what kind of a God is this? You know what Ahaz does? Did you hear that as the lesson was read? Oh, no, 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 no. I know my Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to ask for a sign. Apparently, the only thing worse than asking for a sign for God to prove himself is when God offers a sign, wants to give a sign, commands you to ask for a sign, and you refuse it. Ahaz took the blank check and he tore it up. The guy must be nuts. You know what God does? He says, I'm out of here, right? No. Did you hear what God does? Steadfast. This God, the God of our Father, Jesus Christ, right? Our Lord and our Savior, merciful, steadfast, slow to anger, abounding in love. I mean, this is an amazing God. He says, okay, here's the deal, Ahaz. I guess I shouldn't have asked you to name a sign. I'm just going to give you one anyway, whether you want it or not. And then it's just a simple, ordinary, common sign. Nothing spectacular. A woman that's pregnant. A young woman. A virgin. Somebody who's pregnant. In the 8th century, perhaps scholars would say, Isaiah's wife, who is pregnant with another of their child, another one of their children, perhaps. But it's just simple and ordinary, right? A pregnant woman. And the baby will have a name, Emmanuel, God with us. Well, Ahaz, according to Paul, chapter 1, verse 5 in Romans, and chapter 16, verse 26 in Romans, it's like brackets and bookends, the gospel is given, faith is given to bring about obedience. But Ahaz decides not to trust in the Lord and in the sign that has been given him. Instead, he takes matters into his own hands and he relies upon Assyria to bail him out. And you know your history. 721 BC, the southern kingdom, Jerusalem, collapsed, taken over by the Assyrian Empire. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Psalm 46. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Psalm 23. Isaiah 43, later in the prophetic work of Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not. Someone told me once that there's like 365 fear nots in the Bible, one for every day. Fear not, for I've redeemed you. I've called you by name. You belong to me. When, not if, when you walk through the waters, I will be with you. The rivers will not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fires, you will not be burned. The flames will not consume you because I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. The good news to bring about the obedience of faith. Emmanuel, God is with us, salvation for those who believe in Jesus, judgment for those who believe only in themselves. In our gospel reading, it's too bad we didn't get Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 through 17, but I'm guessing they figured that a lot of scripture readers would have trouble with all those names. It's a Genesis, it's a genealogy. It's the Genesis of Jesus, Messiah, son of David, son of Abraham. The Genesis, the birth of Jesus, took place in this way. So you get this wonderful genealogy, family tree of Joseph. But there's surprises, as you know. I mean, we could go through all the guys in there, like Ahaz, who's mentioned, or like Abraham, who pawned his wife off twice as his sister, or like Jacob, who was grabbing everything his whole life, like his brother's blessing and birthright, and like the wrong sister on his wedding night. But what catches us is not all of these misfit guys in the genealogy, but the scandal involved in terms of the women. There's a bunch of women that are mentioned in this genealogy. There's Tamar, who dressed up like a prostitute and had sex with her father-in-law, Judah. And there's Rahab, who was a prostitute in Jericho, who gave hospitality to the two spies that Joshua had sent. And then there is a Moabitess. You remember the Moab and Ammon, the sons of Lot? And you remember how they came about because the daughters got the old man drunk and seduced them. Ruth is a Moabitess, but faithful to Naomi. And then, of course, there's that scene on the threshing floor when she's under the skirt of Boaz all night long. Matthew is not covering anything up. There's even the wife of Uriah the Hittite, a.k.a. Bathsheba. It's all right there. But they didn't include it for our ears tonight. But we know it because this is how our gospel reading for tonight starts. This is about the Genesis of Jesus. We've heard about this genealogy already, and we know that something is up because it doesn't end with, and Joseph begat Jesus. No, it ends with, and then there was Joseph, and then the son that was born to his wife, Mary. And we're going, what? So you see, if you read those opening 17 verses, you're ready for our gospel for tonight. You realize that the sign of Emmanuel in the 8th century BC didn't work out so well for Ahaz. So what's going to happen with Joseph? Good question. Because he discovers that his betrothed, they're already legally married, is pregnant with child of the Holy Spirit. Now he considers his options: public shame, stoning, or just and righteous. I know what the law says, but compassion is a good thing too. So how about divorce her quietly? And while he is considering his resolve, sleeping on his decision, he has a dream. Like another Joseph in the book of Genesis, the dreamer, the interpreter of dreams, he has a dream. It won't be the last time. Three times in Matthew chapters 1 and 2, that the angel of the Lord will come to him, and the angel of the Lord says, Joseph, fear not. That which is conceived in Mary's womb is of the Holy Spirit. This is a God thing. Fear not to take her as your wife. You will call his name Jesus. The Lord is our salvation. This is all happening to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah in the 8th century BC to Ahaz: a virgin shall conceive, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Well, what's he going to do? Therefore, be it resolved. He figured he had two choices: public shame and stoning, or divorce her quietly. God has given him a new resolve. Stay the course. Be faithful. Trust me, the Lord says, I know what I'm doing. He can choose faith. He can. And by the gift of the Holy Spirit, he does. You see, in the same way that it's the Holy Spirit that gives birth to Jesus in the womb of Mary, so also it's the Holy Spirit that gives birth to Jesus in our lives through the grace of faith that brings about obedience. Joseph gets up from his sleep. He could have said, Man, was that a dream. Whoa, what did I eat? What did I drink? But he doesn't. Instead, Joseph takes Mary for his wife, but knows her not until the son is born. And then he calls him Jesus, the name given to him by the angel of the Lord. And when he names the child, that's called an adoption. And an adoption was legal. That makes Jesus Joseph's son, David's son, Abraham's son, the fulfillment of promise. God is with us, and we get to share that witness of God. Hugs and kisses. Matthew begins his Biblos, his book, his Genesis of Jesus Messiah, with a genealogy and with Emmanuel. And when Matthew gets to the end, chapter 28, the one who is risen from the dead, who has all authority, will give the great commission, and he will say, go, make disciples of all people everywhere, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And remember, I am with you to the close of the age. And then in the middle of the gospel, when Jesus is preaching the sermon on reconciliation and forgiveness, Matthew chapter 18, where two or three are gathered in my name, Jesus says, I am with you. That's what we get to share. The witness of God, Emmanuel. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord. Emmanuel, yes, God is with us for salvation by faith alone, in Christ alone. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise as we are able for our hymn of the day.